This is a production of Cornell University.
First on our agenda is our roll call. Kashagra is going to do the roll.
Are you fine?
Here.
Matra?
Here.
Vivek?
Here.
Batista?
Here.
Bandari?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
Stephen?
Here.
Goldman?
Here.
Hamilton?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Cochran?
Here.
LeBoy,
Lee,
here. You,
which
one? Ellen, you, Lingle, Ravian, Telly, Tifango,
here.
Sullivan, Sayal,
Aniki,
Siskum, Makili?
Yes.
Vershaw?
Yes.
Yan?
Yes.
Islam?
Excuse.
Twenty-four. Thanks so much, Kush. Next, we're going to go into approval of the January 22nd of 2015 meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
We've got a motion to approve on the floor. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'm going to ask that we call by unanimous consent unless there are any objections. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next on our agenda is, unfortunately, a moment of silence. Two members of the Cornell community were lost in accidents earlier this week, including a student named Olu and a staff member named Angela Stedwell. So we'll take this moment to remember them and honor them. And, of course, during this time of need in the Cornell community, remember that with your role as a student assembly representative, you're aware of a lot of the resources on campus, and that if you see a friend or a classmate in need, that you should feel free to reach out to them and direct them in the right place. And also, if there's anyone in this room who ever needs to talk, I'm always here. Next, we're going to move into open microphone.
I'd like to open up open microphone. If you'd like to speak, come forward to the table and state your name in the air.
Could you speak into the microphone a little bit more?
I just had a quick question. I was reading over the standing rule, and I saw that rule number 5 was amended to state members of the community can be called upon at president's discretion, I believe. I just want to know why the amendment was made and what the goal was.
So as we see, I go through the process of changing the standing rules. I'm actually going to defer this over to Jordan, who had initially sent me the reasoning behind the changing in the language.
The reason that we changed it to say that is because sometimes we only have one thing for the audience, and to go with Robert's rules where every person has a chance to speak once before anyone gets to speak twice, we want to make sure that audience members are treated the same way as their members, and that they can speak twice before every person has a chance to speak.
Can I just like to recommend maybe adding to it, saying something along the line of one of the speakers list is going to require members of the panel to be called?
So thank you, Peter. I'm going to write this down, and we can follow up afterwards about that specifically. I don't have the language right in front of me, but from what I remember, I know that we follow like the normal speakers list, and community members are still addressed. But if you do think that there is some discrepancy or ambiguity in the language, you can definitely follow up on that and take a look at it. I really appreciate you bringing that forward. Would anybody else from the general membership like to come forward with the microphone? Seeing none, we're going to close with the microphone.
All right. Next on our agenda is announcements and reports. First, by Representative Goldman.
Hi, this is a briefing. The last time they were working a lot with trying to follow student coaches and students to the college and things as well as adding to teach them examples and over the year and the VR to check out the teacher book and to have a small piece of it to do. Also, I've been working on looking at ways to get more
Awesome work. Thanks for letting us know all about it. You guys should feel free to use this time in the meeting to tell your other representatives and our audience members the things that you've been working on. Next, VP for Outreach, Bhandari.
Hey guys, so I know last meeting we talked a little bit about what the outreach rules look like. They're kind of similar to what we were talking last time, anyway. Basically, you have to complete your outreach project. So next week I'll be passing around like a little card again to fill out. You have to have your numbers then. Please look at the Google Calendar. You guys are all shared on it. I'm pretty sure all of you are shared on it. And it has like a list of all the outreach events you can go to. You can also go to any additional meeting, and that can also you can also use that as your outreach event if you want to discuss the essay, discuss the role in helping the students. Also, if you guys, I would recommend starting to think about potential outreach events for the semester, so that is another outreach requirement every member has. So please let me know if you're working on anything regarding outreach.
We're actually going to stray a little bit from the agenda just to update you guys about the internal election.
Yeah, sorry guys, I meant to send out something earlier, but the three positions we'll be electing in internal elections are liaison to the FASC, UA Campus Welfare Committee, and also AC on the Interesting Fund Committee. So those are the three committees. I think most of you should know about like what it entails and the hours and stuff, but let me know if you have questions, and we can discuss it more after. Thank you.
And just for our newer members, we'll go into that internal election after we adjourn the meeting today in executive session. So basically, everyone who is an FA member has an opportunity to run for one of those positions if they decide to. We'll give the details later. Moving on to business of the day. First is Resolution 32, attending the referendum process.
Well, they don't know. Then my thought was,
first is to bring up issues that people actually care about. And the second is to make sure that everyone has a role and really feels involved and part of the process. And so that's what this resolution and the referendum process is aiming for. It's giving like everyone's voice. And saying that we're just going to touch this bureaucracy. We want everyone to be able to participate in some way and create up any issue they want and put it on the election. People will voice their opinion. You know, yesterday we formed the Community Relations Subcommittee of the Community Election Committee, the Student Assembly, which is part of the Office Assembly itself. We tried to bring up some examples of the bureaucracy. We really need to make everyone feel like they're involved in this process. Because we are the student assembly. We have to assemble students. That is our job. We are not assembled, we are the assemblers. And this is where this referendum process is. And I'm just doing an AP change. This is the fourth week now that we're in the fourth week of the region process, so I hope you can come. To conclusion, to my opinion, based on the recommendations from last week, and there you go.
Thank you guys so much. Are you done with your introduction? Do you yield the rest of your time? Excellent. Is there anyone who would like to speak? He is on the tag here.
So the first one is that the island of Mars is very in this benchmark of that 80% of the students of the student assembly voting against it with generally their resolution. And this only somewhere between 50-80% of students voted against the resolution, the referendum being on the ballot, then the measure of the referendum and overturning the 1200 vote as it was before. And the second change is it's just a minor dimension to the to the referendum has a majority vote in favor of the submitted, then we have to take referendum action before we vote in favor of the
So, just like the
presidential
market,
is that a point of information, or would you like to be on the speaker?
I would like to.
Technically, we do need to vote on those, just so you guys know. You made those. Okay, so is that a formal? Okay, so there is a motion to amend on the floor. Right now, I'm going to take speakers for the amendment itself. I have VP Sabeco for the general discussion. Would you like to speak on the amendment? Okay, so on the amendment, first Yang. Yeah.
So on line 63, which is the First Amendment input, it says the referendum is suspended. Is that referring that it is terminated or suspended as in case?
David, can you please speak into the mic?
I didn't
What?
No, you have to. You have
yeah.
To
yeah. So if you want to amend the amendment, we would have to turn this down. And you can look at, I believe, all of the amendments that you guys are proposing are detailed in the version of the resolution that you guys have. If you want to see what the old language looks like, you can look at your copy of the resolution that's in your binder from last week. Oh, so it's not in there? Okay. I thought that you meant that they printed it. Never mind. Anyway, so, Frank, do you get what is going on? Yeah, if you would like to maybe describe what you would intend for another amendment, you can do that at this time.
I really appreciate you all your fine recall, but I think it's time for me to put a job on the table anymore, and I don't know, I feel like we're going to need to put some of the managers in here to get a
All right, so we are continuing with the speakers list for the amendment. First is VP Stepanko.
Yeah. So I'm actually with Vice President Keith on this one. In terms of Franklin's comment, I think that like functionally suspended means that like it's not going to be looked at. If it gets brought up again, I guess you could kill it again, but I don't think many people would do that, so I don't think that's really the issue. The issue that I have with this resolution, and I guess the amendment as well because it's in red, is what the referendum action actually means and what it actually represents. I don't think I had a really thorough grasp of what a referendum action meant and it being associated with the majority vote until I met with David over this last week. But when I met with him and Matt, he sort of explained to me that if a resolution was to get a majority of votes in favor of whatever that resolution was, the student assembly and the president would be forced to submit what a referenda action is, and David can probably explain that better than I can, but functionally it would force the student assembly into some sort of action based on what a majority of the students would say. So an example of something that I can think of that could get a majority of votes but also isn't impractical and would make the student assembly look bad is that if the students voted that they wanted tuition to be $5,000, right? I think every student would vote that they believe tuition should be $5,000. And this is a hypothetical example, but I can think of more realistic ones. But everyone would vote that they would want tuition to be $5,000, and then Sarah would be forced to send a resolution to President Scorton saying that President Scorton needs to make tuition $5,000. Now that obviously is really impractical and sort of ruins the purpose of this referenda. And I think we need a little bit more discretion in, you know, in this sort of process than what is currently written in this resolution. So until we get that, I'm going to vote down the amendment and I'm going to vote down the resolution if we're going to stick with this sort of like hard line wording of what a referenda action is. And Dave, if I'm misunderstanding it, you can explain it to me, but I'm not comfortable with this being directly tied to what the vote is.
You can respond.
Sure. So I understand what you're saying, but speaking to the end of the news, a referendum question that said should be $5,000. That would get killed by the users and costs that are implemented here. You really want to put some power on the computer because we're assuming that the community of the referendum is not just about department that's taking a poll or a question or some like statistical language. You really want, as a student assembly, to take action and put some meat behind what the student's opinions are. And that's been an explained throughout this whole process that we're going to have a student assembly. Students go to that kind of election. If you want to put some to
So just quickly, I guess, moving away from that sort of hypothetical situation, I just want, you know, just people to think of potentially very real situations in which we might be forced to make unpopular decisions that don't necessarily align with what students would vote for, but what we understand, given information that we're maybe accustomed to, that students might not be at their reading a quick poll, would have, and then be tied to the information that, you know, the popular electorate has. I'm just saying that I'm not personally comfortable tying our actions so directed to that. I think there's ways to incite action or to, you know, force some sort of action or something like that, but not to the point where if 51% of students agree with something, then ultimately we have to publish something in favor of that. I mean, that's a lot of weight to give to students who might, you know, to student interest groups that could, you know, push a poll in a certain way, or, you know, students who might not really have an idea of what this is. And I'm just not comfortable with that, and I just really want the representatives here to understand sort of the enormity of what that action meant, because I don't think I understood it until this week. And I do think it does have a lot of weight, and I think that's the issue.
Do you
guys
have a minute to
respond?
I just have one more way to come back. I'm not saying it's right to add a parallel course. I think the other thing that they came, they said once they want to push to be 5,000, the other thing was attention. Students want to push to be lower. What can the student assembly do to make the tuition lower? You can't necessarily get $5,000, but we can work to understand more transparency around the graduation. Understanding more about churches is trying to get to that goal, even though we don't have to. We want to investigate further, call to the word, naturally apply to student assembly members, expose the pressure on them to do the work necessary to follow up on your friends. You really follow up on the goal.
I think I have 10 seconds left. The last point is just that, like, what this doesn't say is that we have to say we want tuition lower. It says we literally, from my understanding, we literally have to tell Horton we want tuition to be $5,000, right? That's the issue. It's not that this is inciting action to drive tuition lower, which is good. It's saying we literally have to tell Horton something so ridiculous that sort of undermines what this process is about in the first place. That's my problem with it.
How long would you like to extend the time for? All right, I'll just grant it. Go.
From my perspective, I see that the
Next on the speakers list on the amendment, and if you raise your hand while Matt was speaking, I assume that you wanted to be on the speakers list for the amendment, is Rep. Alicon. Would you mind speaking up, please?
Hello?
Yeah. Juliana, could you also speak into the microphone? Remember that Chelsea's not here and she'll be doing this based on the recording.
Yeah. Okay, this is my question. I thought my name is
Next is Max Whitebread. Okay. Thank you. Next is Dee Dee Bhandari.
Can I
question is regarding what I guess what the sentence right after the clause was talking about. So it's about like how you overturn the decision of the NCAA by selecting 10% of the registered undergraduate student body. Even that's enough, like, because like if 80% of the NCAA that would be voting like against it. So do you think that the 10% should be 20%, or like I guess what was the logic behind that 10% value?
So it's not 80% of the essay voting, but just 80% termination. It's a majority of essay members, less than 80%, and that increases the potential of 10% comes out to 1,400%.
Also, on that point, by adding the red kind of culture, you don't want to like, choke students in the sense that like, you don't want to have so many students that force them to have numbers. From what we see, it's a good number to have. I think I can't give you like some specific like mathematical algorithm that you can figure it out on pretty useful, but if you're going to add this 80% clause, you shouldn't really increase the amount of 10% because you want to make sure that, you know, if it's within this range, it's not too inappropriate, it's not contrary to momentum for students, you want to fall in that range.
That's Brendan.
Yeah, I don't think this is the issue based on the kind of the threshold of the interest of the project to consider something. I think that you guys have that a fantastic system for passing which is kind of hoops and criticized. I think under the system with that issue that still looks like we'll get all like the really ridiculous stuff off the table. And after that point, if 80% of us don't want to say no, it's just a five-day tuition thing, and half the student body does, I am so okay with considering my job to be like, I'm starting acting on it and having that be recognized. I really applaud that you guys are refining this
process. Okie doke. Next is Rep. Johnson.
That the village basically will be taken out of the 80% rule. Also, I'd like to point out that, like, you can really think all the opportunities to go wrong, but you can really not put enough thought into the opportunities to go right. Find how to make sure that you're dead in the meantime. So I think we should really, like, not think so hard about the fact that, like, maybe in, like, some, like, complicated examples, like, this could make us have to pass a resolution that says we're teaching for the students in a certain way, but regardless of anything, it'll say that we as a student group are teaching for the students. It's very different than when we pass a resolution that comes to a student assembly from the student assembly grad and pass over the story. Like, you do not want to see what we're doing the same thing, or that one of the rest of our members wanted to do the student assembly for the students. So, two different things. And I trust that the new president will be able to do that.
Next is VP Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, deep down, I think the idea of, like, getting more information from people and having, like, some kind of vote is good. I just think the way you're doing it is, like, very bad compared to other options. If we could turn this into a poll where, like, either way, whether the submitter gets their way or not, that information is communicated to the president, but the way you turned it into, I think, like a referendum action where only if the submitter gets their own way in clause number 8, I don't think there's any value in turning it into a resolution. I think that information should go to the president whether the submitter gets their way or not. And I mean, I think this could be much better, and I'm not in favor of this.
Reminder that we are speaking only on the proposed amendment. Next is, no, I know, I'm just reminding, those speakers listen getting long. Next is DOE MCAS. Okay. Thanks, Trish. Coffee?
I want to echo Henderson's sentiment. This is a way to make something more accountable to people, but why is this the best?
Wow. you know, we came up through these people last year, we tried to find the right sort of algorithm, the right sort of computer science to create this, came back, did a lot of fun, put the research into it, we worked with the office, and we've asked you, we've been there, questions around, asking you, what do you want to see? If you didn't want your money, if you didn't want more information, if you didn't want to have better services requirements, let's use assets and let's use requirements. And that's what we're doing to the president. We should not be doing this political, thing here where we're deciding what sentiments these students go to the administration. This is a great way to get broad data to the administration, and that's why.
Next is Mac Whitbread. Great. So we've actually expired our first speakers list for the amendment. I have a second speakers list. All right. Well, there is a call to question on the amendment. There's a second. All right. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are just going to go into a vote on this amendment. Remember that if you do have another proposal that would be instead of this amendment, that voting this amendment down and then coming up with new language would be the most beneficial route of action for you. Otherwise, vote as you will. If you are in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Or both of the amendments. One. If you're opposed. And if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 22-2-0, this amendment did pass, so now the red portions in your document are as good as the normal font. Now we can move back into the discussion on the resolution as a whole. If you'd like to get on that speaker's list, please let me know, but we're going to start with VP Stefanko.
Okay. I don't disagree with what Vice President Batista just said. I think she's exactly right in what this needs to be doing, but that is not what I believe is currently written in this resolution, and that is what was clarified in my meeting with David over the last week, right? What this should be is a way to aggregate data about the student opinion, collect it, and be able to communicate what that data is to President Scorton or President-elect Garrett in a way that says, this is what's going on, right? This is what the student's opinion is on this. They either voted yes or no regarding what the issue is, and these are some of the actions that could or may or may not be associated with it. I think that's a great idea, and that's exactly what it does, and I do think it holds us accountable, and it holds the administration accountable. Unfortunately, what is written here, and I think, hopefully David can describe what the referenda action is, because the way he described it to me is basically saying that if the submitter gets their way in how it's worded, we have to write a resolution that sort of mandates whatever that is. And I think that that is not really what the intention of this is supposed to be, right? When this was sort of developed, it was meant to be something that gathered information, that captured sentiment, and I think that is, and as Matt said, we're about two lines away from this being a really fantastic resolution that we need to vote through. But until we sort of get rid of that clause that, you know, makes these sort of scenarios that everybody's kind of playing down, you know, not possible, I'm just not comfortable voting for it.
Next is DOE and Ted.
Thank you. I think the overall sentiment is very positive, and I appreciate that, and the fact that we have persisted this resolution for so long. I would just like to point out a couple of points. The first controversy here is about the definition of the word referendum. As I previously mentioned, that the word referendum can conflict with the system to the But if you have defined it very clearly, then people do understand what the system says probably, and since it is mentioned in the class, they probably can run with it. The other problem that I had was in the 80% versus 10% MNB did not pass, like you have mentioned. That 80%, assuming that 40% of the student body votes in the election, 80% of that is 2%. And you are going to overturn the win of the 2% of the people with the 10% of the CAD student body vote. You should think about these numbers before you actually do the resolution. And third, I think you have slightly left some of the 80 votes. But I should also mention that last time I heard some comments about voting on the appropriation of the special expenses for the organization. That is, has not been included in the resolution. So there is no formal restriction that that can be followed. So I think if you do make these changes, it should become a very important thing.
Do you have
a chance to respond?
Yes.
Yes,
you do.
So, in like plot the outline you put, it's line 95 to line 100. Nowhere does it say that a model resolution has to be a requirement. The referendum action, which is the referendum action, which is expression, sentiment, students, those are the papers. So, I've actually some questions that I want to hear from the representatives of the government if you want to. If you were to do the essay and you realize that you have
great. So, just to clarify, you guys are going to respond every two people who speak. Next is E.T. Henderson.
Yeah, I'm really not suggesting anyone like come up with a whole new referendum, because I do think this is like two lines away from being perfect. Because if you go to, if you look where it says 8 and 96, all I really want to do is get rid of the top line so that it reads, the President of the Student Assembly will communicate the referendum question, a summary of each out of the arguments, and the results of the referendum to the Office of the President, and then just finish off there. Because, like, this does not say what a referendum action is, and I, like, learned what it was when I talked with David on Friday, where it's, I think it's a resolution, like, written in favor of, like, whatever the vote was by the Student Assembly. And I think it's much, like, more effective that even if the submitter, like, doesn't get the answer that they wanted, even if, like, a lot of the students voted against them, then nothing happens with it. The President should get, like, that information either way, and it's, like, a very easy change that I can make it a lot better.
Was that a formal move?
No, it was not.
Great. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Fridman.
Yes, I was expecting a completely different proposed amendment that's not really that sounds, I mean, that sounds pretty good. I think that should be contentious in favor of this, but I'll be able to decide on that kind of vote. We've seen two sort of like very cost avoidance mode right now. That's like a really easy mindset to get into. It's the most obvious thing to start talking about possibly things that could go wrong. We've heard of like two corner cases, right? We've heard of the possibility of something outrageous that we have to put our names on and talking politically, which we haven't stopped yet, been here before. The second thing that we've heard is that this should be, that information should be forwarded whether or not, no matter what special this prompts, it's just a referendum. Honestly, those two, like the first one is obviously ridiculous, right? Because something is so ridiculous that we never want to put our name on it. We have the option to say that and make that decision. And the second thing is that I think is wrong back. I think we should just do that and honestly call it this question. I think this is fantastic. Yeah.
Was that a formal amendment?
I'm waiting for another one.
Are we allowed to reply?
Yeah, actually you are allowed to reply, so you can go for it.
Very different. I mean, on the table, I've actually used that amendment on the table like 50 or 100 moments back
there's no need for, like, submitting to the president what's happening and why we're doing that president. So there's the action listed, which we submit anything that goes wrong with the president, there's the action listed. Therefore, we decided to give this man the name referendum action. But if you think that means modifying the nation, I'd be willing to bring up a debate as an amendment that would be.
So next is, I'm guessing that was not formal, next is Representative Ali Khan. Actually, the tag we have next on the speaker's list, if you'd like to continue. I mean, I guess if there were a referendum, it would eventually end up going through the actions list. It's a good question, because there is no process, I guess technically it wouldn't have to. But I mean, a lot of times President Gordon will ask me to send him something that we've been working on that maybe wasn't in resolution form, and I'll just send that to his regular email address. I don't know if that's what you were getting at. Did that clarify?
Whatever.
I mean, the actions listserv itself is not that formal. The cool thing about the actions listserv is that it kind of has other people on campus who might want to know the information. So every resolution that I send to President Sporton, because it goes by the actions listserv, actually gets sent to people like the Dean of Students, Susan Murphy, Dean of the Faculty. So it goes to other offices that are also important. So just stating the facts about what the actions listserv really means. I suppose you could. I don't know. As an unbiased chair, that's basically all I can say. I mean, if Gina? Alright guys, the speakers list is getting very lengthy. Remember you can make motions at any time, but otherwise I'm going to move on. Alright, so Representative Sigmund has called the question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we are going to vote on this resolution as it stands. I am going to ask for a roll call vote on this. So Jordan and Kush will call out your name for our new members. When we get to your name, you either say yes, no, or abstain. Before we go into the roll call vote, could Jordan or Kushaga explain how charter changes?
A charter change requires two-thirds vote when voting membership of the SNL.
Yes. If it's two-thirds, hang on, I have a chart.
24, is it 16?
It should be 16.
If no one on third.
Yeah, as long as no one is on a bathroom break.
Are you on?
Yes.
Back?
Yes.
Are you from here?
Bandari? Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Finley?
Yes.
Gordon?
Yes.
Anthony?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Hoffman?
No.
McCoy?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Ellen Lu?
Yes.
Lisa Lu?
Yes.
Mathon? Radlin? Tennis? DeFanco?
No.
Scully?
Yes.
Sistum?
Yes.
Mahili?
Yes.
Bertov?
Yes.
Yan?
No.
So it actually was 16 by a vote of 20-4-0. Resolution 32 does pass. Congratulations. Our next item on the agenda is Resolution 38 for greater legislative accessibility.
Here? I suppose I'm not that old.
There are some things to see.
I don't know exactly how to.
Yes, now that half of the assembly is presenting. Yes, we're glad that you're all here to present today. So you guys get 4 whole minutes to recap and reintroduce. And because this is business of the day, we can go into full debate. Whenever you guys are ready, your 4 minutes will start. So I'm going to start keeping a speaker's list. First is Representative Alicon. Is there anyone else?
I don't know if there's a
lot of people that are in the system, but I believe we come in and I believe that praise, after praise and blur, mentioned what we call abstract. So, I like that. Everywhere in the world, they
abstract. That's a great one.
Okay, so there's been a motion to amend, there's been a second, so now we're going to talk on the amendment unless someone called that amendment to question. Okay, so there's been a call to a question, there's been a second, is there any dissent? Seeing none, let's do unanimous consent on this one. Does anyone object? All right, so we are amending this so that everywhere where the word blurb is used, amend, or not amend, abstract is now there. What? So that would be line 21, 27, and 2. Awesome. Next on the speaker's list on the resolution is Repetista. EBP.
Just giving some more thoughts to this. It's great. Awesome. Please work with me in the next couple of weeks because I need some language from you guys about what's putting me at the info listserv, or what's putting me at the info listserv to notify the general public that we're changing something about the way we're presenting our materials. Something to the essay member listserv when we solicit for resolution, explain some what blurbs are, how to do the blurb, and like what that entails. And then also helping add it to the resolution template in the way that you'd like to see it. And then finally, I was thinking about this more, is that we probably should utilize PR and yourself to make sure that reps start utilizing these blurbs, abstracts, like posting them on their own Facebook page if they're presenting a resolution, use them in their own social media, disseminating them to friends if they're asking about what the essay does. Like, I think these are new inventive ways that, like, the essay, like representatives themselves, can take autonomy over spreading the message about what the essay is doing. So keep up the good work. Make sure to work with me if this passes. Cool.
Next on our speaker's list is VP Gundari.
Yeah, this is a great idea, and I think, you know, going forward to the work of the fund is also another way of presenting that information. So we can have PR and how we can work with that. Another way I can motion to vote.
So there's been a motion to vote. Can I have a microphone, please?
So,
there's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Question.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah, we did the amendment, there was unanimous consent, we're all good, we're back in general discussion, you're fine. So this would be a call to question on the whole resolution. Is that okay? So there is dissent, you have 30 seconds to explain your dissent, and then we will have to vote to vote.
Alright, this is not 2 points, but it's not 2.25, and I just
alright, so that's your time. I mean, with a dissent like that, we actually have to go into a vote to vote. So, I mean, if you are interested in continuing the discussion and having the sponsor answer a question like that, continuing the debate on a question like that, you would vote no to a vote to vote. Otherwise, if you would like to vote, close the discussion, end of story, you would vote yes. Is everyone clear? I hear whispers. Does everyone get what's going on? Cool. So, if you are in favor of closing discussion and going into a vote on this resolution, please raise your placard. Okay, if you are opposed. And if you'd like to abstain. So, we have a vote of 21-3-0 on our vote to vote. That does mean that we will continue by voting on this piece of legislation. Jordan, would you like to explain?
For greater legislative authority, in the act of legislation, it will require a majority vote of FK members present to pass.
So the majority of members present today is 13. If you are in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand and placard. If you're opposed. And if you'd like to abstain. So you're fine, Franklin, I saw. So by a vote, it's 24-0-0. This does pass. Thank you guys all for your hard work. All right. Flying through the agenda today. Next, we are going to go... We are going to go into Resolution 41, Elections Committee, Additional Materials.
Members material.
What?
Members.
Well, I think there's a typo on the agenda, sorry.
Is it? Yep, that's
what's happening there. Oh, well, there's a typo in the agenda. You guys, did you want it to be members or materials? Okay. So there is a mistake on the agenda, but not on the resolution itself, so we're in the clear.
Yes, this is the resolution for the election committee additional members. And the main reason for this is within our charter, it says any change to the election committee specifically, whether it's adding people to fill vacancies or the course of the year, having to have a staffing committee. And then it's probably to tell Chris Gable to address like what the election committee is, and then I'm talking more about it.
And we are bringing this resolution due to the fact that
individual sits on the management commission rule that does not have more than a certain number of SA members. And besides that, another member who forms Chinese rule that happened in the night due to scheduling issues with the SA did not have enough time available for the commission. So I think it should be quite non-marketing position.
Yeah, and the only thing that I would add is most of the community members, Austin, John, and Corey, and we got a bunch of the name references from other committee members who thought they would do a good job on the committee. And I think one advantage of these two people is I don't know anything with them, and I don't think about this. Well, maybe some of you guys in the private community would be good to have people on the election committee that are kind of out of the whole essay thing because it's easier to make an objective.
I think mentioned that these people have problems with their functions and attend our meetings, which has been a major challenge.
But I think that's pretty much it. If anyone has any questions about how to staff or any considerations, go ahead.
Awesome. So now we're going to first go to EVP Batista.
Super quick question. Was this approved by the staffing committee or was it the elections committee?
Yeah, and there actually is one type of the bottom line that was the designation. So, honestly, it was actually reviewed yesterday, the 28th to the 27th, but it was approved by the staffing committee. A little out of the time, because it was over email, but I sent over email to all the executive committees on the staffing committee and then the staffing coalition. But so we had to get approval from those people. So by policy, we're not going to go through. All
right, so we'll make sure that typo is addressed when it goes online.
What's the typo?
It's just that it should have been the 28th, and it was approved by the staffing committee over email, which is totally fine. But we only use email in voting situations like that when it's an emergency. The elections committee does have to meet this Sunday to put this resolution in perspective for you guys. That's why it's here. It's business of the day. All right. Next is Rep. Alicon. Could you speak into the mic a little bit more?
Sorry. I don't have a question.
So there's been a call to question, there's been a discussion. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will continue with a vote on this. Jordan, you want to explain?
The committee's rate is internal policy.
require a majority vote of essay members present.
So remember that 13 people. If you are in favor, please raise your glasses. If you're opposed, and if you'd like to abstain. So actually it was 23-0, but it still passes. Thank you guys. So now we can move into new business, starting with Resolution 40. Oh, sorry. Did I skip something?
Resolution 40 is the
motion to amend right now, you're more than welcome to.
All right, motion to amend.
Wait, Dominique, would you mind slowing down? We don't have a clerk, so we have to say it really slowly. Healthy is better for you than all of us. What line first? What line do you want it?
Just after the.
Okay. So be it finally resolved.
That after a semester of gathering common, any necessary changes be made to the event registration process. For continual
organization. Second amendment to further.
Okay. I'm going to repeat this and you will let me know if I got it correctly. Be it finally resolved that after a semester of gathering comments, any necessary changes be made to the event registration process for continual improvement.
Also, if
you want to change one version, one. We got to do one amendment at a time. So, yeah.
What you said?
It's related. It's just the first.
It's just making it like amendment.
Sorry, could you repeat?
Yes, so
we can change those all in one thing. Sorry, I thought you were going in a different direction with that. So now we can open up a speakers list on the amendment. I believe it was seconded. So, VP Warshaw. Okay. So, is there anyone else who would like to speak on the amendment itself, Rep. Goldman? Okay. Rep. Goldman? Sorry, I thought you were on the other side of the room. Okay.
They currently do,
get feedback on it and how to speak more to this fully for discussion of the amendment. But they do everything there in terms of how we're not going to get from the UC. So then we're going to start making a resolution.
I think you make it a little bit different because, like, I know for the UC, people who, like, they do have their data, but they're like, the formal process kind of thing. Like, I think that's right. This is something that I think that, like, the EMC does. And data on how the whole process or like getting feedback from the DC. So that makes you like a different process.
Next is rapid point. Were you on the, did you mean to be on? So I'm going to put you on the speaker's list for the resolution as a whole. Great. So the expired speaker's list for the amendment is oh, Rep. Furman.
Yes, I'm Dana from the EAC. I was trying to
on the amendment?
Okay. Motion to vote on the amendment.
So there's a motion to vote on the amendment. Who's been second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to go into a vote on the amendment. Please raise your placard if you're in favor. Okay, wow. All right. Guys, pay attention. Keep your passes up. We gotta do that again. If you're opposed. And if you'd like to stay. So by the 21-0-2, that amendment still does pass. Now we'll move on into discussion on the resolution as a whole. First is Representative Brindman. Pass. Next is Representative Bowman.
Okay, so I'm working on the
you want to do it through their technology, but you can do it through their technology.
So we don't work with that group.
So are we done with that conversation? Great. Moving on to Russell Point. The speakers list is getting kind of long, so I am going to ask that you guys hold off so you speak every two people who speak. Next is Rep. Brown. Next is VP Workshop. It's still new business, so technically we should be doing questions. You could move it to business of the day.
Motion to move it to business of the day.
There's been a motion to move it to business of the day. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to moving this to business of the day? I'm going to just ask that we move this to business of the day. By unanimous consent. I think everyone is already arguing their point. Excellent. business of the day. You can go, Lindsay. Next is Representative Yang.
My question actually refers to the lines 34 to 36 and then 43 and 45, just putting the executive meeting to point out the number of people. So I just checked to make sure that it is actually on them and that the message is on the page that is called in to the event registration form, where it has all the guidelines, with all the contact information as well. So I'm reading off of it. It says, contact sustainable events at Cordova.edu.
So, if you want to get on the farm as well, which you can just like, that's where it seems to be. But I'm logging in and not going to be doing this. They like to have all their background, right? For different, like, things you can do. And, like, until you really look at the farm, you're going to know why it's there. And then once you're in the farm as well, you've already built it out, you're not going to get back. So, you've got to get in the farm as well as the way you're getting.
Yeah.
So that, my question is, once you already filled it out, and you know someone else on how to do it, or do you need to go to the location until they answer the response?
I don't need to say it yourself, and then go back. I think it's more specific that it's like, that's why, also, like,
do you guys have anything else to say? Because you guys did go before two speakers went, I'm going to ask that you guys wait for the next two. Next is Liaison Batavia.
Thank you. Super important. First, I echo a lot of what they're pointing to. They're already doing access to these documents that you mentioned that you can't interact with the office to have access. So this is an attention to the issue here. If it's anything sensitive, I have a lot of support for that. Second concern is, or more questions, are there some factors in the legislation? Is it going to be directly for all or is it a recommendation?
What? Did you mean to make this legislation, or did you mean to make it a recommendation?
What was the original intention?
So that was the design to say, I want to be here, or trying to get it before,
Was the intention of the sponsors to make this legislation a recommendation? My apologies, this week I had a dead computer.
Did you guys mean to make it say legislation in the box? Did you? Okay. So, just to clarify your point, if you guys could hold on, I guess it was two of them, so you guys can go. Bye. Continue with the speakers. First is VP Stefanko, and then Jeff Liu, Gina, and Max Wichbaud. So everyone knows the order. And then Friedman.
So I guess I won't jump to the conclusions as quickly as Representative Brown does, but I do sort of echo his sentiments. It reads like this is what we're going to do over the next 2 to 3 months before we write a resolution about event planning, right? Like all the Be It Therefore resolves are things that on like 90% of the resolutions that I see are things that people did before they wrote the resolution. So I'm just like a little bit curious and would like to hear an explanation of why you thought like this one in particular made sense to sort of outline the work that you're doing. Like, Emma, like you have probably like 5 or 10 of these sort of initiatives sort of in the works where the DLC is working on them, and then you're going to bring it to a resolution. So like, why is this one a resolution and then you're working on it? If that makes sense.
Cool. Next is Lisa Liu. Or Erin. Sorry about you. I wrote LD, my bad. I could just go for it. It's fine.
Okay. So I think the difference between this and maybe with other projects that we're going to do is that it's like there is going to change an existing process that's happening in the country. I don't think it sounds like it's joking, but like if I were to bring a resolution to the table right now, and then like we talked about like changing toilet paper at the CLC meeting yesterday, like people would make that seriously. But this is like actually something that needs.
Were you finished speaking? Okay. is I was going to allow you to expire your time before I accepted that motion. All right, so there is a motion to table. When you motion to table, you got to say when. Until next week? Okay. Motion to table until next week. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to that? All right, so if you have to say, you have 30 seconds, and it would be a reason why we should not table it, not an argument about the resolution. Go.
Okay. I think that we have a little bit of a helping formalize the recommendation. I don't think that recommendation is a concrete action. I think we can grant them that if they pass that above a relatively short time frame in this meeting, and I'd like to respond to that.
Okay, so because there was some dissent, we will vote on whether we will table this or not at this moment in time. Please raise your glasses if you would like to table this until next week. Do you approve this motion? 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, is there opposed? And if you'd like to abstain, okay. If you'd like to abstain, I know for a fact that someone didn't vote. I'm pretty sure. Did someone leave the room? Oh, okay. All right, so 10 to 10 to 2, which actually means that the motion is not approved. Okay, so that means that we do go back into discussion, we do not table. There you go. Next on the speaker's list is Gina.
Motion to table the next week, seeing as it's 6:30.
What? Okay, so there's a motion to table until next week. There was a second. There is a second. You have 30 seconds.
We
Cool. So, we are going to have to vote on whether to table this again. If you're interested in tabling this, you'll vote yes. If you're interested in not tabling this and continuing our meeting, which, by the way, would require a motion to extend our meeting, you'd vote no. So if you're in favor of tabling this until next week, please raise your card. If you're opposed. And if you'd like to stay. So, by a vote of 20-3-0, we are tabling this until next week. I am going to ask that you guys not move very far. Kush has an announcement, and we're still doing our internal elections. Yeah, we are going to go directly into internal elections if you guys can stay. Kush, make your announcement, and then we're going to close off the meeting.
While it's good that you are reaching out to different student organizations with anticipation of the election, please make sure that you do not spam their emails because it's against our rules.
Okay, I'm going to clarify on what Chris was saying. Actually, you know what? Can we adjourn the meeting before I make this announcement? Okay. I'm adjourning the meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.